Yo, yo, to all of our newbie and faithful listeners out there, welcome to the program. Coffee Sometimes is a video and podcast from Valor Coffee founders Ethan Rivers, Riley Westbrook, and Ross Walters. That's me. Every week, we talk about coffee, starting and running a business, and some other stuff in hopes that some of it might be useful to you in your coffee journey. If you enjoy the show, the best way you can help us continue doing this is by subscribing and liking our content on YouTube and following and reviewing on your podcast app of choice. Also, give us a follow on Instagram at Coffee Sometimes Pod, where you can find some real hot short clips taken from the show. Lastly, if you find what you hear helpful, please share on your social media platforms and with your friends who might be interested in learning a thing or two about coffee and running a coffee business. All right, thanks for listening, and here's the show.
Do y'all guys think you'll ever have a freaky hobby like ham radios? Or yours will be RC cars, that's for sure.
I actually was thinking this morning about how...
Like 5 minutes ago?
No, like I was brushing my teeth this morning.
Oh my gosh.
At 6:45
a.m. Flex, dude. Rise and grind.
Yeah, dude.
Rise and
grind.
Rise and brush.
And resin brush. That's good.
Did you brush your teeth this morning?
Hold on. I was thinking this morning about how growing up, I went from hobby to hobby so quickly. And my dad did as well. And I was wondering why I am that way and why my dad was and is that way. And I was like, man, I feel like that is a common... phenomenon
with just like a lot of males,
yeah,
specifically.
I would say. I think like dudes are on to the next thing, probably much to their chagrin. I think probably not to our chagrin. It's like everybody values this, but like we value adventure and overcoming, and
newness
and adventure and overcoming are well within reach when you start something new, like learning something new. I know that you've definitely done this, like learning a new skill. You enjoy that, right, Riley?
You could say that.
But yeah, I was thinking about that this morning. So I don't know what I'm going to be on to next.
But maybe back to RC cars.
But possibly back to nitro gas-powered RC cars. Smash like if you have ever driven a nitro gas-powered RC car.
Drop your favorite name brand down in the comments below.
Yep. Can we get affiliate links for RC cars?
You can get an affiliate link for anything, man. To answer your question, sicko, yes, I did brush my teeth. You're the only person here who has been known to skip that.
I'm a once-a-day guy. Have you guys had cavities before?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
When's the last time you went to the dentist?
Doesn't matter.
That's what I thought. You're going to go and they're going to be like, yeah, we're going to have to go ahead and go for dentures.
We're just going to have to gut this thing.
It's going to be a full demo, Mom, project here.
If you had dentures at 26, that would be so on brand for you.
What about that would be on brand for Riley? Or for Ethan?
He wouldn't have to like brush his teeth twice a day.
You got to brush dentures?
I think you just drop them in like a liquid at night, right?
Burn my teeth.
Who do you think you would take your dentures out around? Like at what point in the relationship would you like kind of bear that?
You know, I have an imagination on how things could go in conversations, but I'm going to be honest, I've never... pictured us having hypothetical conversations about who I'm comfortable with taking my dentures out.
Hey, we've been known to say some crazy things on
this
program.
Very untoward, gentlemen. Very untoward. Dude, I feel like it'd just be a party trick. I'd be like, okay. I'd be standing around and be like...
Like I could... Like I could see it being like just around Meredith, or it being like something that you just do.
Yeah.
Like to break the ice with someone. Or,
you know. Like, I'll take a bite of a burger, I'll go, and then the teeth will come out, and I'll be like,
ah! Yeah.
Okay, can you actually get dentures now?
Dude,
hey, that sounds great.
Once this whole, like, Dunwoody Indiegogo campaign's done, I think we start raising some money for me to get dentures.
Yeah, I think that Indiegogo would go even faster than our current one.
Help Ethan get dentures. That could work.
If I had a hobby, it would be gardening. I don't know how niche that is, though. Is that,
that's
like,
not niche
boring
at all?
Boring and stupid and dumb? Or fermentation.
You said it, I didn't.
Fermentation?
Fermentation.
That's a little niche.
That's a little more niche, but...
COVID got it popular, but now probably nobody does it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they... Or they do fermentation, and they just don't call it fermentation.
They call it, like...
I mean, like, making sourdough bread is fermentation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking...
Did you know that?
Did you know that coffee is a fruit?
Can we say what we put on the joke mock-up box for a long time that we always used?
Yes. Go Who ahead. Wants to say it? Me?
Yeah, because it was...
Because I'm untoward?
Yeah.
When we were doing a mock-up and we had not done our copy on the back yet. You know, I might just have it. Should I just go get it?
Dude, yes.
Yeah, go get it.
BRB.
It's pretty funny. The running joke. I guess we can explain it after he gets the box. But what are we drinking today, Ethan? Do you know?
Mm-mm.
You don't know?
It looks brown.
It's coffee. Have you tasted it yet?
It just felt so hot.
It is pretty hot.
I was just scared.
Yeah. It's like hot. It's like scary.
I also had a big breakfast. So, you know, sometimes when your tummy's really full and you're like...
Yeah. You always have a big breakfast, though. Anyways... last week on the program, we talked about, thank you. We talked about, our,
you're welcome.
Our new, three pack offering, and how it's the same coffee from Colombia processed three different ways, washed, fermented. Hello, fermenting. We were just talking about fermenting. It's washed, fermented with SCOBY. And then cooked in an induction oven for 95 degrees.
You like this color?
Wow, how do I say that? It was fermented, or it was cooked in the induction oven.
Oh my gosh.
Coffee is a fruit, and it was cooked in an induction oven at 95 degrees Fahrenheit. And this is the washed iteration, the three pack.
Nice.
And
nice.
It's probably my favorite in the box.
You're
honestly.
Kidding.
Yeah.
So this is our mock-up box. I really like to make paper mache projects.
That's your
my hobby.
Weird hobby.
Whenever we need a mock up, I make it. Okay.
This guy loves mock ups.
But a lot of it is unrefined, such as the huge staircase on this side. That's unlike our current box.
Very untoward.
And then the back says, "Coffee is a fruit, dumbass." And if we were edgy, you know, that'd be us.
There's always this thing that we've said over the years that is like, if we were edgy, we would do X and Y. Yeah. I'm trying to think of another one, but it's like this, you know how there's just like edgy brands that'll like cuss at their customers and like
ironically four barrel with the F it mugs.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that they were trash.
Yeah.
Some people.
Yeah,
trash.
They made some mistakes, okay?
Not everyone was trash.
Some people made mistakes that were bad. Anyways, so...
I cuss at our customers.
We have this alternate brand that's like our Finsta. Do you guys remember Finstas?
Oh, dude. I got like 8 Finstas going right now.
How quick do things go through our culture at this point? I feel like Finstas... were a thing for like a long time comparative to like how long, what's a recent saying that I picked up?
It's giving
is gone.
It's gone.
Like,
see you later.
People, like dog water transitioning to dog.
Like that happened overnight.
Mid creek water.
Yeah. Anyways, but,
mid's been around a while.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it seems like you don't.
Anyways, we've always just like fantasized about what if we were more edgy.
Did we talk about the cappuccino bar idea?
No, definitely talk about it.
Go ahead, Raleigh.
I don't want to talk about it. I'll talk about it. You always make fun of me.
No, no.
Why do you always make fun of me?
One of Riley's edgy ideas was...
This is not edgy.
Definitely not edgy.
It's just stupid. It's just a bad idea.
No, it's got like... I think when something's edgy, it's like people are going to not follow the rules naturally, and we're going to have to make it, like, clarify it. That's like a pillar of edginess for me, like cutting edge.
I have a way different version of edginess, which is saying things like coffee is a fruit, dumbass.
I hear you. But I just think it'd be edgy to have a table at your cafe where if you sit at that table, you are just given a cappuccino and that's the only thing you can get.
Which came from us liking cappuccinos, right? Or it came from you liking cappuccinos and you were probably just had the thought of like, what if I walked into a coffee shop and I sat down and they just brought me a cappuccino every time? Do you think that's where it came from?
Maybe.
Dude, what's going on?
We've got a great,
just sad.
A great show for all of you listeners today.
Yeah, let's keep this train moving.
Whether you're on YouTube or whether you're on Apple Podcasts, or whether you're on
Twitter,
LimeWire, or Spotify.
Or you're torrenting this.
Torrent?
You know, is that what the word torrent?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about? Torrent?
Yeah.
What was the Twitter?
Just like a way to illegally download stuff.
Yeah, if you're illegally downloading this podcast,
I've never done it.
What was the like Twitter platform that it was like a Twitter alternative that didn't involve what happened? What's the word when you silence people?
Censorship.
What's that one?
I think that there's multiple of them that like Truth Social on the right wing.
What was one of
those? 8chan.
Truth Social, Parler.
Parlor. If you're on Parlor listening. Welcome to the program.
This is not on Parler. I don't even know if they exist anymore.
Well, we're resurrecting them if they don't. But
we aren't.
We are reading a book together.
Oh.
Unreasonable Hospitality. And we are in part two. Part two, but chapters 2 and 3. Meaning this is the second time we've talked about it.
Hang tight, gang.
And we've promised to our listeners that we will only talk about this for 5-ish minutes. Because we've been saying if you're not reading the book, the next 5 minutes might be a little bit weird. But I will say that the content in the next 5 minutes is very, very in line with what we usually talk about and could be even better than what we usually talk about because somebody else wrote it.
Mm.
Chapters 2 and 3, a little bit more of a narrative storytelling.
Yeah.
Origin story.
Real quick, 5-minute book club starts
now. Origin story. I'll just go ahead and say that I think that so much of why people get into hospitality is because of things that are so near and dear to them, such as their origin story, because you don't make a ton of money. So, like we were joking before that, like this guy seems like he came from money because his dad took him to Four Seasons for his
12th birthday.
And so like he was for all intents and purposes, probably could have got a super duper high paying job, but he went to the hospitality industry. And that was all because of the quote that we always use, Maya Angelou quote of people will forget what you did and what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And it was cool to see him use that quote because we use that quote.
Boom.
And he said the same thing that we say about Boom. That quote.
And he had the best restaurant in the whole world.
And
so
apparently we're on the right track.
I'm picking up what he's putting down.
But yeah, so, you know, that the feeling of that, you know, fancy chef giving him and his dad that amazing experience was the thing that like cemented his dedication or not. And then he was 12 at that time, but it put him on that trajectory towards wanting to sew back into that industry because it gave him so much. I just loved that. And I can relate. I don't have a story exactly as moving as that, but just going into restaurants and coffee shops over the years and just seeing that there was room to grow in the industry and being like, I could do that. I don't know how yet, but I could do that. And that sounds fun.
Yeah. I got a little emotional. I was soaking in the bathtub. Not going to lie.
Soaking.
I was soaking in the bathtub, reading this book.
In your tears.
And my tears, for sure. So going through all the stuff that he went through with his mom, and then bringing in Daniel, as they call him in the industry.
Right. Chef just Daniel.
Just Daniel.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Him bringing him to his poopy apartment to just like hang out after the service, but then him reaching out to Daniel for a last minute reservation and him saying, I would love to have you. You welcome me into your home. Now I will welcome you into mine. That's so sweet. Because their homes did not look alike at all. Mm. But Daniel's philosophy is that, you know, and our good friend Dave Bazilia, whenever he was on the program, talked a good bit about how everything he does in hospitality, he relates it to how you would treat someone at your house. Mm-hmm. So it seems like Daniel was doing that too.
Beautiful.
And then following up that experience that night, he says, that night was the saddest I have ever been or ever want to be, and the same was true for my dad. Yet even in the midst of that sorrow, Chef and his staff were able to give the two of us what still feels like four of the best hours of my life. There was no check.
Boom.
Sick.
Daniel, you dog. Yeah, touching. Very touching. I feel like it's those core memories that inspire you to do what you want to do with your life, you know? Mm. Yeah, it was beautiful. And just later on, he says something where he says, I believe that whatever you do for a living, you can choose to be in the hospitality business. Mm. Obviously, we're in the hospitality business, so my mental framework is kind of working that way. What do you think that means for someone that's not in the hospitality business? How do you choose to be in it?
Just name a business. Like landscaping?
Landscaping.
Hmm. How could you apply hospitality to landscaping?
Hmm. I think that starts with the people on your team first, because landscaping, you're just going in and doing a job. I think of ways to, what is it? The little tagline on the front of the book says, the remarkable power of giving people more than they expect. Would you expect your landscaper to go above and beyond in any way besides just the job?
Hmm.
Like, what if there was some sort of special gift that they could float towards their client, or even a handwritten, like, we enjoyed cutting your grass today or trimming your hedges or whatever. That I remember this, like 2 years ago, there was this phrase that we cooked up in Valor, which was, our internal goal at Valor is understanding people's needs and abundantly meeting them. And that is kind of what this book is. It's like the ability to understand your customer, but not just meet their needs, but abundantly meet them in a way they didn't expect. So I think anytime you do that in any business, that is a way to practice hospitality.
Very nice. We went 540 on that. Sorry, guys.
We may need more time.
6 minute book club?
10, 40.
You're crazy.
No, I know.
It's just good content that is related to our podcast anyways.
Yeah, it's going to spill over.
Chapter 3 didn't have a ton. It was pretty short.
I thought he talked about intention, which was cool. About like to do something with intentionality means to do it thoughtfully with clear purpose and an eye on the desired result.
We're highlighting the same stuff.
Which I love. We have a core value, details matter. I feel like that could basically just be boop, subbed out with like intentionality.
Yeah.
Which is just looking at the big and small and giving everything the attention it deserves and more.
I have to turn the AC on.
You're getting hot?
Yeah.
Hey, go for it. It was cool. We got another, like, I just kind of forgot that this guy served under Danny Meyer for a while.
Yeah.
So he touched on enlightened hospitality, which is definitely something that we use in our like company's framework. And it's just like your priorities when it comes to making decisions. And he touches on it real quick. He says, Danny's big idea was to hire great people, treat them well, and invest deeply into their personal and professional growth. And they would take care of the customers, which is exactly what they did. So we take care of our people so that they can take care of their people, you know.
Yeah. Guess. It's kind of like sarcastic the way he put it too, of like his big idea, like as if that was some, you know, super cutting edge technology that he was cooking up in a laboratory. But it's literally just like, I forget exactly what the wording was, but treating your people well so that they can treat your guests well.
Yeah.
That's like really simple, but I guess the reason he's putting it like that is because it's so rare in hospitality industry.
What's the default, you think?
I think it's just people that, I think it comes from business owners that are just like trying to run a business and make enough money to pay the bills. And so the way to do that is to make money. And the way to make money is to make your customers happy, period.
And the way to make your customers happy is?
Pay your employees less.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Stop.
Nah. Yeah, I feel like there's so many reasons why that mindset isn't manifested in the industry. But I would think that's one of them, of just like being money focused.
Mm-hmm.
And also having like an immediate return on investment. There could be an illusion in the sense that like when I invest, because he says investing in your employees personally and in their future career. And the reality is that their personal lives and their future career may not involve you whatsoever, or may not right. benefit you anyway in the short term. And, but it does benefit you in the short term. Mm-hmm. Like if we spend time investing in an employee, like they're going to show up the next day wanting to come to work more than they did the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have some juice in their veins when they talk to the guests and have some more energy to it. So yeah, that's cool. Really great.
Well, moving on to our next segment, Indiegogo check-in.
Nice.
We are at $15,865 of our $25,000 goal.
Hey.
How many days left?
21 days left. So it's been 9 days and we are 63% of the way there.
That's awesome.
So
let's go.
How about that? Hey, that's one coffee for life. That's, I mean, less than eight, nine coffees for a year, because coffee for a year is now $12.50 because the early birds sold out. $12.50 really? Is still a great deal. Let's just be clear.
It is.
Oh my gosh. I had a dream that somebody got coffee for life.
Who was it?
I don't remember.
Call them out. Call them to action.
I don't remember. Oh, wait. I do remember. I forget his name. I know what he looks like. We can talk about it after, but that was funny.
If you're listening and Ross is talking about you, thank you.
Smash like.
Yeah, thank you. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
$15,000. I mean, what an honor.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Where are we at with the cafe?
Cafe, the as we speak, the floors are getting done, which is a huge, may not sound like a big step, guys, but it is, because that would be like the last like messy thing.
It unlocks a lot of things for us.
Yeah. We're heading into like the final phase, which is like put it all together. Because the ceiling's painted and done, the walls are done, the bar is done, the floors are now done. And so now it's get the countertops on, do the tile in the back, do the tile on the bar, put in all the furniture, install all the equipment, just, and then like turn it into a coffee shop, you know, make sure everything works. Thankfully, we're going to have some professionals hook up some of our equipment, because we kind of screwed it up last time, a couple times. Oops. this is kind of where we get more involved. So hopefully we'll still be seeing you guys on the program regularly. But I think our time and attention is going to be heading down. We're in probably the fourth quarter, I'd say. Not that we're going to be opening in the fourth quarter of this year.
No.
And we never said we would.
No, and we never promised that. Yeah, but thank you for your support of the making this happen and getting behind us. I feel like every big growth that we've experienced with our company has been backed by community support. So,
yep,
thank you. Mm. Thank you. Next segment, gentlemen.
We have a fun topic. Oh, if you want to give to our Indiegogo, that link is in the description, or if this is a reel later, it's in the bio. So we would really appreciate that. We're getting really close, and that cash will help us be a little closer.
That's right.
Right?
Come
right.
closer. Yeah. Come closer.
So we want to talk about some hypotheticals. What if Valor was just opening? Would we roast our own coffee? Would we partner with one roaster? Or would we partner with multiple roasters and have some rotation going? This is kind of a topic we've bounced around. Obviously, we are a roasting company.
Yep.
So we like it. It's cool when people exclusively partner with Valor. We'll talk about why that is. But laying all that aside, what if we were doing it and we could make the choice from the get?
Yeah. And we do have a bit of background in this too. Like when we started, we had an exclusive partnership with Parlor Coffee.
But you didn't see that one coming.
And then we moved on to Cat and Cloud. And you managed a coffee shop for a long time. That was a multi-roaster.
Well, they were an exclusive Stumptown partner.
At that time.
When I started. And then multi-roaster.
Okay, that's even better. So you got to see that transition and what, you know, the implications of that. But yes. In case you don't know, you're listening, I'm sure you're aware that coffee shops don't all roast their own coffee. Mm. I feel like there could be some people out there that don't know that. But you know, they don't all have their own exclusive coffee brand. Some coffee shops get all of their coffee from one roaster, and there are certain benefits to that, such as support. You know, if a roaster is represented exclusively at a coffee shop, then that roaster is more prone to give them some perks, essentially like free consulting or training or coffee education, stuff like that. And the other arrangement is multi-roaster, where I'm sure you've seen this, but coffee shops will bring in coffee from tons of different roasters. They'll usually have a rotation. Like there's this one coffee shop called Paper Town Coffee.
I'll be there on Saturday.
Really?
Yep.
Well, they just ordered our coffee, so you'll be able to see it there.
Yay! Russ and Liz, Russ, we're and calling Liz. For you.
Yeah, Paper Town Coffee. They order our coffee probably once every 2 or 3 months or something like that. But judging by their order, it seems like they like clear house. So like they do a roaster, they feature a roaster, and then they run out of all that coffee, and then they just do another roaster. Maybe it's month to month or whatever it may be, but lots of different arrangements. But if we were starting Valor over, I mean, what are your initial thoughts? Like, I guess we could talk about what our personal preferences would be, and then we could just talk about like the pros and cons of all three.
Mm. So yeah, so the parameters for the hypothetical is that it is just Valor again, but it does seem, I feel like we might all lean in a couple different ways.
Yeah, and how about we make it like a coffee shop? Because we started off as a cart, and so we're talking like in Alpharetta,
44 Milton Avenue,
same location. You know what are you going with?
Can I just say something real quick?
This is a great time for that. Yeah,
this coffee's awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Isn't it good?
I really enjoy the wash process.
I drank every sip already.
Valor Coffee, down to the last drop.
We drink it ourselves.
And I'm sorry. We can keep going.
Hey, do you want some more?
If you're offering up, I'll take it.
Okay. Hey, here it goes.
Bottoms up, buddy.
All right, now.
Okay.
Okay.
Have a good weekend. We're opening.
Ooh, they're. Ross.
Chemex is tricky.
Where's the method? There are so many facets to this, too, because even if you are a multi-roaster, there's multiple different ways, like you said, to do that.
Yeah.
Anchor.
Yep. We can get into that.
Russ and Liz style.
Yeah.
Yeah, Russ and Liz. Beacon in the UK did it like that as well. They just do bar takeovers.
I do. That's pretty cool. I'm going to be honest. That seems like it's a lot for, you know, maybe if we were primarily at Valor more, you know, like if I didn't have a lot of plans for growth, I was just like hunkered down at Valor, I would do something like that. That'd be more appealing because you personally get to experience all these different coffees.
Yeah.
And you get to dial in all these different coffees with your team. And you and your team get to share new information about new roasters and new coffees weekly or monthly. If we were like on this same like growth trajectory and like bringing on people and trying to like get bigger, that sounds really hard.
Yeah.
To like stay on top of all that communication.
Unless you just have absolute studs.
Yeah, like if everybody is obsessed with coffee.
Yeah.
But I think the reality is, at least in 2023, when you're staffing a coffee shop, that's not super duper the case, depending on what you're prioritizing. I'm sure if you like just wanted to hire coffee people, you could. It'd be interesting to hear from Russ and Liz on that.
Yeah.
If they're involved. I'm sure they're sounds like they're probably pretty involved in their space.
They work behind the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how about the La Marzocco Cafe where they do that, but it's like a feature. I mean, clearly they have the flex of like whoever's coffee they're featuring, they change to the same espresso machine and grinder setup that they use.
Wow.
And then the person, like the trainer or manager, like flies out and helps dial in the coffee. It's like that intentional. It's a moment.
That's crazy. That is really crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, hashtag goals, huh?
So you're saying you laid out like if I was trying to do this or if I was trying to like grow, what would you do? What would your preference be? Would you like want to just be behind the bar there, like dialing in all these different coffees, or would you want to have more of a growth trajectory and take a different route?
Are there budget restrictions in this hypothetical world?
That was a question I had because I had an expensive idea.
Same.
What was your expensive idea?
Well, it's not my turn yet. How about we just say like there's you can say whatever. Just for the
say whatever.
Like okay. You can create your own world now a little bit?
Yeah, like
Fluffer Nutter. You should like, I say whatever.
So. My idea like involved buying a small roaster. And so, like, that would be, you know, a huge expense.
Bellwether behind the bar.
That's what you were going to say?
Or in the space, yeah.
I can't wait to hear your idea. It's going to be so good. But
what?
For you, Ethan, you were talking about going small or going big. What's your preference? Or what do you think about when you think about those two options?
There's give and take, man. We're growing now, and that means we get to give careers and like more people get to be a part of Valor, and I think there's a lot of beauty in that. But I'm also at heart a simple guy. So if like I could make as much money as I needed to like grow old with one coffee shop and all three of us just working behind the bar and like working on one cafe, that sounds cool too. It's not a very realistic dream though. Drop the mic moment. So I don't know. I have a hard time not being realistic about that. So I would probably pass on the multi roaster feature option. I probably would pass on like general multi roaster because I really like relationship and like connection. Like I'm a connector, you know?
Wow.
I know.
Are we in an interview right now?
Yeah. Like, I really like to talk to people.
I just feel community being fostered by you
through this conversation.
I feel it being cultivated even.
Yeah. I'm cultivating community with a catalyst that is coffee. So
curating.
I'm curating coffee. Curatively
cultivating.
I would either, I don't want to roast coffee. So I think we'd have to look at the team and see who, if someone wanted a roast coffee. But I would also be down to align ourselves with a company that is doing a great job.
Yeah.
Wait, so this is, we're still all in this together? There's three owners?
Well, you said Valor.
Yeah, I think we should make it, because one restriction of having all three of us is we have all three of our salaries in the picture. But if we could, just don't think about that. It's like, we can do it with us, but don't think about, oh, well, we got three salaries and our personal families, so that means we have to do this and this to the business. Because that doesn't apply to our listeners and what they might want to do.
Okay.
Can I just say a brief thing?
Please.
Ethan, you are awesome. But, totally. I'm just kidding. No, you said if all three of the owners work the bar, like it's that is not that realistic because you talked about being a simple guy and just wanting one coffee shop, and you know, like you'd be fine with that, but that's not that realistic. My question to you is, and to you, Riley, one reason we have that mentality is because we have the location that we have. And it is a very, very small coffee shop that has a high ceiling. Like, we put up some good numbers.
15 feet, right?
Yeah, 15ers.
It has a high sales ceiling. But it's not as high as it could be, for sure, because the floor is under 700 square feet. Is that right? Always forget.
Like the cafe floor?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 650.
So my question is, like, if we had one cafe that, how would you lay out a cafe? This is a kind of a separate thing a little bit, but like, if all three of us, if our, all, could we support all three Woo! Salaries off of one cafe if it was laid out right, basically? And if it had the right, you know, like talking food program, you know, like I wonder if you could even do it without a food program. It's just like, if we had a bigger cafe, could all three of us just pour our, you know, have a sick Instagram, you know, like we don't even roast coffee, but we, just pour our heart and soul into like the people that work there and the customers that work there. And that, 'cause that's one thing that when people think of Valor, they don't really think of like, oh, the owners are so awesome. Like, they think about that maybe a little bit, some people, but when we were behind the bar, that's like what people said. And I don't love that completely, but I kind of love it for the guests, not for me.
That because they like know the owners?
Yeah, because people just love to know the owners, you know, whatever that means.
Sure.
I don't know. I just think it's kind of something that is not worth exploring for us because we're on a different trajectory, but I have a suspicion that if we laid it out correctly and we had the right location, all three of us could be doing just fine with just one cafe.
Probably doing just fine. But then you look ahead to when you're 30 and 35 and 40.
Yeah.
And the kids are starting to go off to college.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh. Yeah. So there's that. And then there's also, I don't think we would be able to do it while also working 40 hours a week.
Sure.
I think we'd have to be talking above that because it'd probably have to be like, how can we all work on bar 4 or 5 days a week and also do admin related tasks? There'd be a lot less admin related tasks, but yeah.
I was thinking if we had, this is like cheat code, but like, I feel like barista parlor Golden Sound, like in the Gulch, had this. They had a roastery, a cafe, and they have a kitchen, all in like probably 4 or 5,000 square feet. Put one person over the roasting, put one person over food, put one person over coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You probably make like 2 million a year?
Yeah, I was thinking like 1.5.
Yeah, it could happen. It could happen. You know, split that three ways.
Yeah,
pretty good living.
Split the gross revenue three ways.
So we all make $500,000.
Wow. Dang. What are we doing?
What am I going to do with all my money?
So anyways.
So I guess what your hypothetical is correct, that if we have the right spot, you know, but we don't. We have the wrong spot.
It's all
Golden
wrong.
Sound, I don't know if any of our listeners have been to Barista Parlor Golden Sound in Nashville, but it really is a good location. It's huge, and you can fit all three of those operations in there.
Yep.
So it's pretty ideal for that.
Yeah,
setup.
I'm sure you can have a little wholesale program running out of that thing too.
Yeah, even if it was just local, you know, to restaurants and et cetera.
Let's be clear. I don't think plenty of people do it. Plenty of people do it and sell a lot of coffee. And we had a big uptick in retail coffee sales. I mean, we were at the cart. Let's be clear. So who knows? But as soon as that box or bag at the time said Valor on it, we did push more retail coffee.
Yeah.
100%.
Did we make money for ever? No. but we did push more volume, and even of our and all of our volume increased because it was like local roaster.
Yeah. It's a really good question that's worth asking whenever you're thinking about roasting coffee as a coffee shop. Is it's not just as simple as, oh, I can get my coffee way cheaper now because I'm buying it unroasted. And then I'm going to get my coffee for $4 a pound, roast it, and then be able to sell it, you know, for the same amount that I do right now. It's not that, because you have labor costs. You obviously have the cost of, the roaster itself and the facility. And the way we have it structured too internally, this is kind of behind the curtain, is our cafe buys coffee from our roastery at full wholesale price to keep it as like a, you know, keep it a separate business. So, it's definitely a little bit more of an undertaking to start roasting. But Riley, to you, if you were starting over with the three of us, what would you lean towards in terms of the arrangement of how to get coffee?
I mean, the tricky part about, like I said, Bellwether, right? Just threw out that idea because their entire shtick is that cafes can independently roast their own coffee because it's all automation and electric.
Is that what they, is that their like marketing?
I think that thing? They pivoted their pitch to that, which I think was a good move, because I had a chat with one of their sales reps one time just because they wanted to schedule a meeting with me and try to sell me on it. And the thing is like the same price as our Loring, which
oh
is
my
like
gosh.
The big barrier to entry. I mean, you know, so I'm not going to like dog their prices, but that's really expensive. And they were trying to sell to us, and we already had like an established...
We're the wrong person.
Yeah, exactly. We already have like an established wholesale operation. The capacity is like 6 or 7 pounds, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah. So that's a lot of batches if you're doing the crazy volume that we're doing.
Yeah.
So there's that. It's good for, so good on them for really pivoting and being like, you know, cafes.
Yeah.
Whenever you are just a single operation like that, like if you were going to just do coffee for your cafe, you lose a lot of your purchasing power. You know, if you want to get custom bags, I mean, most places, I know that some like Roastar has some low minimums, but it costs a lot more. So to be getting anything that's cost effective, you have to be buying 10,000 units, ideally more than that. So there's that. It's going to take you forever to run through those 10,000 units because you're the only place pushing it. You can only buy coffee at limited quantities. So, you know, if whatever single origin that you have, like say you want to have an Ethiopia for a little while, it's going to take you a long time to run through that sack of Ethiopia But to get most effective ordering, you have to order 10 sacks to fill a pallet. Mm-hmm. There are other options for ordering coffee where you can order in smaller quantities. Maybe you go that route. But I'm just saying, like, you have very limited purchasing power if you're only doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
So then you have to look at, you know, do you go bigger and do you get... I would never personally put a Loring in my cafe space because they're really loud.
True.
I've never messed with the S7, but our roaster sounds like an airplane taking off whenever it's purging its lines of gas. So maybe you could look at doing something like a Diedrich or a Probat or a Giessen or a more traditional drum roaster and put it behind a glass wall, like East Pole style.
Yeah.
They push volume out of there. So, if it was the three of us and I was trying to figure out the way to make a living for all three of us, it would have to be find a 3,000 square foot space and have a roasting operation there. And even with our 3,000 square foot HQ, we're running out of room. So, yeah.
And you wouldn't get coffee from anyone else. You would just be a valet.
If I was trying to support the three of us. If I was going at it solo, I would probably do multi-roaster, anchor partnership, and rotate retail and like pour overs on Seraphims.
Yeah.
And single origin espresso.
Mm-hmm.
Because a single origin espresso is so sick.
How many Mythoses would you have?
Probably six, like backups for whenever the front line goes down.
My thing was I want to, and what you just shared about purchasing power and just more of behind the curtain of what it takes to run a successful roasting operation is so, so valuable. And I really wasn't even thinking about any of that. But my thought was like, I want to, and you also talked about how loud Lorings are, but I was thinking of getting an S7 Falcon. So for clarification, that's the smaller Loring roaster. And we would have a exclusive like blend that we use on espresso. And it's just like our brand that, you know, is like we push big time, but we roast it. And then with the rest is just multi-roaster.
Ah, interesting. That that could happen on a bellwether.
Yeah. And then you brought up the bellwether. That's perfect for that. So if money's no object, then the bellwether would be awesome for that because your batch size is small. You don't need a highly trained roaster person to pull that off well. I think also you could support maybe 10 restaurants around town, you know, 7 offices, just like local wholesale accounts that just want to buy like the Valor coffee and it's just one coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually you could move into more of like a full offering list. But purchasing power, that's a really good point. And
it sucks.
It does. But there's a reason the world is wired that way.
We don't even have good purchasing power.
Right.
And we have a wholesale operation. Like, we're still not buying coffee by the container. And that's like, that's when you start making real money.
Yeah.
But you just have to have six figures to start, you know, to blow on the
coffee. If anybody knows where six figures are, let us know.
Yeah.
We're looking around.
Yeah. And
action figures.
I don't know if we've ever shared this on the program, but one core philosophy of ours that I think, I can't remember if we picked this up from Cat and Cloud or how we arrived at this, but it's a lot more fun for your baristas to dial in different coffees than it is your customers to drink them.
Mm.
Meaning, like, if you're changing your espresso every day or every week, then it's likely that you have a meaningful percentage of your guests that don't like that because they just want the same thing. There's a reason why the most successful businesses in the world in food and beverage industry, like every time you get a Chick-fil-A sandwich, it's the same. And that is an amazing act of man that you know, that is true.
Yeah, like, if they were just like, actually, we use thighs today instead of breasts
for the sandwich. Yeah, experimenting. We're just experimenting, you know. And I think, so ways that we've carried that out over the years is that ever since we started roasting, we've had our free throw offering as like our flagship coffee. And it's been on espresso every day, with the exception of, you know, a couple days here and there. It's the same, and we pretty much pull it the same. And we've been going for the same exact flavor profile for years on that coffee. And I don't think we will ever change it. And that, I think the thing to know is that on your menu, you need to have a fair amount of static variables and a fair amount, and then some, you know, changing variables, that, because there's a good amount of people out there that want the same thing. Most people just want the same thing every day. Most people want to get different things on the menu, but know they can always come back to their mainstay. And then some people just want something different every day.
And those people are probably the type of people that would order single origin espresso.
Yes. I'm that type. I'm kind of a hybrid between the option two and three. Option two being like, I want to know that I can always veer away from my normal, but I also want to know I can always come back to Chick-fil-A and get that same sandwich. Or, you know, order a free throw espresso at our cafe and know that it's going to be free throw espresso. So I would want to keep all of that intact, like have variety that kind of like stimulates the team to engage around that and our customers, but also have that that mainstay to always come back to.
Mm. So you're your own anchor.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be my own anchor, and investing in that bellwether asset or something like that, that would be my preference. I think there's so many coffee shops out there that want to roast their own coffee. Would you agree? I mean
even when we set up an exclusive account to start, a lot of times the conversation is, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe in 4 or 5 years when we start thinking about roasting, we were the same way. Like when we started, we didn't think we were ever going to roast. And then we were like, what the heck? This seems easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's, in some ways, it's not extremely out of reach as you might think. But in other ways, to properly scale, it does take years, right? We're kind of on that journey of what you were saying is like scaling purchasing power, scaling quantities and sustainability. But you can also just like go borrow someone's roaster and buy coffee online and it'll show up and you can like put in bags and get a custom sticker from Sticker Mule and be like, now I sell coffee.
Yeah. No matter what though, you will pay the price though. It's like, it's that is true, but that coffee is going to come at a way higher price, and that bag is going to, you know, you can try to be really creative and thrifty with it, but it's going to look kind of bad compared to other roasters. And so we say this all the time on the program, but it all just comes down to like, what is your long-term vision that you're trying to achieve? Not only you, but your partners and the people that are important to you in your life, even your significant other, you know, your family. Like, where am I trying to get in 5, 10 years, 2, 3 years? And how can I put myself on that trajectory? Because I can just pay, you know, $11 a pound to whatever roaster and get awesome coffee that is consistent, and, you know, they have put on all the work. They've devoted their entire lives to crafting the perfect blend of coffee.
Meticulously.
Yeah. And I get to benefit from the crap that they've been through to get to where they are.
Yeah.
But when, and we experienced that, like we got the answer from Cat and Cloud and it was awesome. Like the answer is Cat and Cloud's flagship blend. And, you know, they paid the price to get to where they were. And then when we started roasting, our quality dipped.
Right.
In our cart. Our coffee was worse.
Busted.
But we counted it worth it because of where we wanted to go.
Yeah.
So I think that is always the thing to consider. Where do I want to go with the company? Where does my family need to go? And am I willing to pay the short-term price to get to where I need to go? And we were, and we're still, you know, working towards that.
And but, we still have loans to pay off.
Right.
Over a very long term.
Yeah. Or you could have just bought someone else's coffee.
Yeah.
It's that simple. You know, and then it's like, oh, well, then the Valor brand wouldn't be as big as it is.
Yeah. You're gaining intangibles.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess intangibles, but.
Shout out to our first, one of our first coffees that we bought, Jagesa. It's a natural Ethiopian. And we were like, oh, yeah. Natural Ethiopian, it's going to be like so amazing and fruity. And it literally tastes like bananas and like freaking poop.
Yeah, rotten bananas.
Oh, gosh.
But we bought a sack of it.
Yeah, and we're like, now.
Did we buy one sack of it?
Oh, sure.
But it was around like forever.
I can't even remember what our volume was at that
point.
It's
like,
but
right.
It was like a free throw component.
Yeah.
It's like, now we're stuck with this coffee.
It was a free throw component.
It took us forever to get through it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like how, this is a different thing, but same story of like, people are like, I want to start a coffee shop. I'm going to do it. And then you do it and you're like, oh, this is way harder than I thought.
Yeah.
And then you're doing that and you're like, I'm going to start roasting coffee. You just got to buy a roaster and do it. And then you're like, oh, this is way more expensive and way harder than I thought.
Yeah.
And then just like in both camps, a fraction of those people like push through and they come out on the other side, you know, and we're pushing through right now. But yeah, it depends on what you want. I think that's what we're all saying. Because obviously we have like some form of bias because of our own paths. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think there's a lot of coffee shops that really pride themselves on like service and experience for their one cafe. And they don't have to worry about roasting because they just bring in really awesome coffee from all over the world. And
yep.
That's killer. Or the same situation, but they just partner with the local roaster that happens to be doing a great job. And
which is a great segue into something we haven't talked about yet, which is the pros and cons of partnering with an exclusive roaster. I kind of dropped a little bit about what that is like earlier, but would you guys, that I noticed that none of us wanted to do that. None of us wanted to be exclusive with a roaster.
That's what we used to do, and that's what we like.
That's all we did. We never like got multiple coffees.
Well, so why did you guys not include that in your answer, if that's what we did, and that's what we also try to do through our business?
I don't think that's exactly what we try to do. I think we try to do what Riley was saying, which is like, totally be open and respectful to other places featuring other coffees, but still having like that anchor spot.
Yeah.
The drip and espresso and pour over option, but then you're bringing in other coffees for other espressos or pour overs or like a secondary drip. Yeah, because we just use Parlor. I don't know. I guess it's just simple, you know? And maybe we're just trying to push the envelope a little bit, and maybe that's because we've been in the industry a while and we're like, oh, let's like go ahead a little bit. But I don't know. It's just kind of easy. And like, you kind of really have to trust your roaster system of like, they're going to be making a menu offering list that will meet all of my needs. Right.
Yeah. And that might not.
And what we're saying when we say that is like, maybe we don't believe that, or like we just want variety for variety's sake, for namesake. But at least when I know internally, when we're making menu slots, we're trying to make it like, because Valor is exclusive, if you think about it, like they are different entities. So it's like we at any point could just bring on other coffees for fun.
Yeah.
We just don't. Well, maybe we will one day. We never think about it. We never talk about it, but we just like believe that all the coffees that we bring in scratch the itch of our guests.
Yeah, we're not really, there's not really like a hole on our menu right now.
Right.
I just think
the second decaf.
Yes. So I think the reason I didn't say it is because I'm thinking about the bank of knowledge that the three of us have in this moment. So the consultation side of things, you know, like the free consultation, like help us set up, help us train, isn't super necessary for us.
Good point.
Because we haven't been in the industry. Sorry, we have been in the industry for a long time.
Great point.
Whereas if you're just getting things up and going, maybe you've only had one job. Maybe you don't know anything about management. Maybe you don't know anything about ordering. That's a lot bigger of a task that would be extremely helpful for someone. So, you know, maybe at that point you look at partnering with someone on a more exclusive basis.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I thought about that before we started, but I forgot of like if you are an industry pro and you have experience, then you don't get any of the pro of being exclusive with a roaster. Because the pro of partnering with an exclusive roaster is you get support and you don't really need that.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think we were all thinking about this with the idea that we're doing it together. So we already have that like camaraderie, communal support. If I was doing something by myself, I think I would definitely be way more interested in having an exclusive account with somebody just to have an ear, you know?
Yeah.
Just to like have a training lab to go to. Like someone who I remember a really nice thing with Cat and Clouds, they just call us from time to time, check in. But
yeah.
Like, oh, this is great. Thanks. Just like having someone else check in. But kind of what you're saying, three guys, been in the industry a while. I think we're just like thinking a little bit ahead.
Yeah. I mean, completely different thing. We've talked about how our model is going to shift whenever we get done with this Dunwoody Cafe. To like a perks path versus like a better margin path of wholesale opportunity that we need to kind of just discuss a little bit more. But I mean, that would be a pro of exclusively partnering like with Valor. Obviously, you get the support and help side, but maybe you also get a refractometer after you buy so much, buy so much coffee.
Yeah. Or you just get the coffee cheaper.
Yeah, or you get the coffee cheaper. So it's just like, you know, it's opportunity and, rewards for purchasing
like a bobblehead
coffee beyond
bobbleheads.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, so like if you're an industry pro and you just are, you know, ordering 60 pounds of free throw per week and you don't need us to teach your baristas how to pour latte art, you already have a refractometer. You already have an EK43. You're good.
Get that coffee for cheaper.
Just get it for cheaper.
Yeah.
Or if you do need all those things, then you pay full price. But you know, you get all of those perks and benefits that you need.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the cheaper side of it does come with some. What do I want to say here?
Chagrin.
Stipulations. It's not chagrin. It is stipulations. I mean, you know, we're still trying to figure this sort of stuff out, but you know, maybe
this is the first time we talked about it in like 3 months.
Maybe you have to push our retail. Maybe you have to have a print somewhere that says something about right. Valor subscriptions.
A cutout of me in the space being like,
yeah.
Yeah.
A like fat head of Ethan
on the wall.
I think that would make people not want to buy our coffee.
Ooh.
No offense.
Offense taken, bro.
Fathead, bro.
Fatheads are in.
It's a little much.
All right, smash like for exclusive partnership. Comment for multi roaster, and subscribe for roasting your own.
Yep. Good stuff, boys. I had fun making radio with all of you.
Me too.
We make radio.
We almost certainly won't have a program next week.
Oh yeah.
Because I hope we're gonna be laying tile.
Yeah, we're on a timeline with the tile. We're in a tile line.
So we'll see you guys somewhere in the range of like 2 weeks to 2 months from now.
Yeah. We'll be around.
It'll be great.
All right.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you, bye.